Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Republicans in Congress are leading an effort to remove some iconic animals from the endangered species list. At a hearing this month, lawmakers proposed ending protections for grizzly bears and gray wolves. And there's no doubt that some of these animals are making a comeback. For the first time in decades, researchers have counted more than 200 Mexican gray wolves, or lobos, living in the wild. It's a significant milestone for one of North America's most endangered mammals, which roam the mountainous border regions of Arizona and New Mexico. Brian Bird is with Defenders of Wildlife, one of the groups trying to save the lobo. And Brian, I'm sure you're celebrating this year's count because at one point, the wild population of Mexican gray wolves practically fell to zero. Why? What happened to this animal?
Well, like other predators in the West, it was persecuted largely for the livestock industry. And unfortunately, the government was doing the bidding of the livestock industry, and there were bounties set for the wolves, as there were for other predators. So essentially, the livestock industry wiped this animal out entirely, and there were none left in the U.S. and just a handful in Mexico.
But in the 1970s, I guess, the problem became so bad that wildlife officials captured every wild Mexican gray wolf left and took them into captivity to rescue the species, reintroduced in 1998. What happened in all that time? What did it take to get those numbers to where they are today?
The power of the ESA, the Endangered Species Act, came into effect here. And once this animal was designated endangered, Fish and Wildlife Service had to come up with a recovery plan. And it's been rather successful, and that's why we're celebrating this year, because the wolves that were in captivity have been slowly being released into the wild. But that's not the end of the story, because once they're in the wild, they have to face, again, human civilization and what we're doing to the wolves, which most of these wolves now that are in the wild are dying either from poaching or from vehicle collisions. And so we're trying to address all of those things, but ultimately it becomes a cultural issue. You know, can we live with the wolves?
Well, and that's an interesting point because the problem that you diagnosed at the beginning in the 1970s, you know, still exists to a certain extent. These animals in rural ranching communities, they don't mix very well. So what happens when these animals prey on livestock, especially as their population grows?
Well, let's start by making sure the record is straight. Very few livestock are killed by predators when you compare that to things like weather and illness in livestock populations. It's a very small number. But the problem is it's something that humans feel like they can control. So what Defenders of Wildlife has been doing for the last 25 years is we're getting out on the ground with ranchers, putting our money on the ground. We're out there putting range riders on the ground, livestock guardian dogs, basically reducing the losses for the livestock community so that they can see this as a business proposition that's not negative for them.
Have you had any success with that messaging? Because it does sound like a hard pill to swallow if, you know, you're a rancher and, you know, you got a couple calves that are taken in a certain season. You know, that's their livelihoods at stake.
It's hard at that level, and every single rancher, you know, who's struggling out there loses one animal. That's significant to their budget each year. Unfortunately, the North American wolf is getting swept into the culture wars, the political culture wars. So that's the challenge I see.
One of the other challenges that you have is genetic diversity. Can you describe that problem?
Yeah, the problem is once the captive breeding program began, there was very few wolves in captivity and with very little genetic diversity. The wild population is so closely related, they might as well be brothers and sisters. They become much more susceptible to disease. They don't reproduce as well. So it can lead to a vicious feedback cycle of just reliving extinction again.
How do you get fresh genetic material in the species then?
One is you can cross-foster puppies into the wild population. So you take puppies that have been bred in captivity, you put them into dens of wild wolves, and those wild wolves raise them like their own. The other way is you can release adult pairs of wolves that are in captivity, they're raised in captivity, but they've become well bonded to each other. Releasing these well-bonded adult pairs is important. Right now, the government has decided not to do that for political reasons.
Traditionally, looking back, these animals roamed across this mountainous border region of Arizona and Mexico and New Mexico. But of course, there's development now. There's a border wall. What do you think needs to happen to get this animal off the endangered species list for good?
We need to get out of the way. Fundamentally, the problem is these wolves will breed. They will fulfill their ecological role, which is really important on the landscape. And we have a duty as humans to right this wrong. We eradicated this animal from the face of the planet almost. Now we have a duty to bring it back. And if we just get out of the way, they will do it on their own.
Brian Bird is with the Defenders of Wildlife. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great.